Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3cla.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
Today we will continue what we are doing. This will probably be, maybe if it's not the last message on the golden candlestick or the golden lampstand in reality. We put it up there, not just a lampstand, put up there the Mishkan, the holy place here. I am probably, and I don't say this in a way of saying I won't be around, but this will probably be the last time that I'll teach this voluminous lesson about a subject. So this is my gift to the church, my gift to the church world as it relates to those who are joining us on iChurch in English and in Spanish. Thank you all for joining us. Hopefully, you will receive something from this also. This lesson has been an extensive lesson on the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the gospel that Yahweh preached in the wilderness by building this tabernacle. And we said last week, there are three, and the week before, that there are three, this is not working. It doesn't give me the, oh, you gave me the wrong one? Okay. You gonna pull a switcheroo on me, huh? So this is the Mishkan. This is the tabernacle. This is the holy place, which most of you probably didn't even know what it meant. It was just something in the Bible where Yahweh said to Moshe, I want you to build me a tabernacle. And I want you to build it this way. And then he said to Moshe, see here, said he, that you make it according to the pattern showed you in the mountain. So Moshe went up in the mountain, and this is what he received from Yahweh. Now, within this holy place, which represents the church, there are three pieces of furniture, which is the golden lampstand. The English text call it the golden candlestick, but there were no candles in that day. So this was lamps. Oil was in these pods here, and with a wick, and this lamp burned. Here is the table of shewbread. The golden lampstand represents the Holy Ghost. The table of shewbread represents the word of Yahweh. And the golden altar of incense represents prayer. And I said to you all a few weeks ago that this is a requirement of all that enter here, is that they minister in the Holy Ghost, they minister in the word of Yahweh, and they minister in prayer. Now, we have talked a great deal about the lampstand. The lampstand is the only light in the room, in the Mishkan. Without the lampstand, you cannot see the word, the table of shewbread would represent the word. You cannot see the golden altar of incense. And so, there are several things that this says to us. One of the main things it says, that the Holy Spirit is the only guide in the church. Without the Holy Spirit leading you, you don't know where you're going. And so we made it a point to talk about the Holy Spirit, how he comes, right? You know, everybody in every church got the Holy Spirit, let them tell it. But the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost came a certain way. He came in tongue. And even today, he's coming in tongue. And if you don't have tongues, you don't have the Holy Ghost. That's just simply Bible. And the Bible said, he that has not the Spirit is none of his. Romans said that. So we should begin to stop this fantasy about everybody being saved, no matter what church you belong to. The Bible said there is one God, there's one faith, and there's one baptism. But you got churches baptized, some sprinkled, some baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, some baptized in Jesus' name, which there is no such name, and I'm not just putting it down, I'm just telling the truth. You can research it. There is no such name in the Hebrew. There was never such name given in the Bible. His name was Yeshua. And so, if you missed the other lesson, you can get a tape on it to bring yourself up to speed. I don't ask you to just hear me and listen to what I say. I ask you to check me out. And if you check me out and you find out that his name is not Yeshua, I'm going to give you $50. Now, I say $50. I could give you $100. I could give you $1,000. Because the odds is in my faith. You see, check it out. And as we talk today, I will go on to challenge you to prove me wrong. Anybody on air that can prove me wrong, you write me. Tell me where I went wrong. Show me in something that is authentic that his name was Jesus. And I'll announce on the air that I made a mistake. I don't think I can get any plainer than that, right? So the Holy Spirit, this is why the church world has so many different beliefs, is that they have too many different beliefs on the Holy Spirit. How you receive the Holy Spirit. Some say you receive it as soon as you believe. That is foolishness. Saul met these disciples in the upper coast, and his question to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they say, we didn't know. Nobody ever told us. And he laid his hands on them, and the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and magnified Yahweh. And he baptized them in the name of Yeshua. Now, you can read that. I know to say Jesus, but since you have checked me out and found out there is no such name, then you can check it out and you'll find that his name is Yeshua. Now, you can look at the dictionary and find that out. Just look up Jesus in the dictionary, and they'll say, the dictionary will say his name was Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, without the Holy Ghost, and without us being led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to make a lot of mistakes. If you are saved and you are not led by the Holy Spirit, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. So we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is here to lead us and to guide us. So there's four things that every believer must know. One, he must have a knowledge that he should or she should be led by the Holy Spirit. They must have a desire to be led by the Holy Spirit. They must seek to be led by the Holy Spirit, and they must be responsive to the Holy Spirit when he's trying to lead them. Now, I told you all a few weeks ago that even when I'm coming to church, I've got two streets that I can come down. I ask the Holy Spirit, which street shall I come down? Now, you say, why you do that? I do that because I'm practicing being led by the Holy Spirit. You can't be led except you practice. You desire to be led. You seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. Our lives would take a drastic turn if we would seek to be led by the Holy Spirit. So we're going to start today in Yohanan, which you call John. And some might say, why do you try to change everything? I'm not changing it. I'm just putting it back. Somebody changed it, and I'm putting it back where it's supposed to be, where it came from. So in Yohanan, the 12th chapter, Yeshua speaks to them, and here's the reading, 35th verse. Then Yeshua said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. And he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. So Yeshua said, the light is with you for a little while. While you have the light, you should walk in the light. Because if you are not walking in the light, you are walking in darkness and you don't know where you're going. And that's the idea from the Mishkan. If the lampstand is not lit, you cannot navigate in that Mishkan, in the church. So, and then he goes on to say in the 36th verse, while you have the light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light. While you have the Holy Ghost, believe in the Holy Ghost. Believe that the Holy Ghost is here for the purpose of leading you and guiding you. And if you don't believe that, then keep on reading. You'll find it somewhere in the Bible. I happen to find it in the 16th chapter, the 13th verse. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit, his truth is come, he will do what? Guide you some of the time. Huh? He will guide you into what? All truth. Now, if you're not being guided into truth, you are being guided into what? Error. Right? Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Talking about, he don't have a word outside of the word. You know, people say, I don't care what you say. I don't care what the word say. I know God spoke to me. The Holy Spirit spoke to me. No. He don't have a message of himself. He only can speak what he has heard in the word. Hallelujah. So people come with this wild stuff. You know what God said to me? We say that's not in the Bible. I don't care what you say. I know the Holy Spirit spoke to me. No, he did not. No, he did not. Because he don't have a message of his own. His message is consistent with the word. Now watch this. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. This is Yeshua speaking. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So Yeshua said the Holy Spirit has three purposes. How many did I say he has? Three. He said the first purpose is he will what? Guide you into all truth. The next purpose, he will show you things to come, right? And the next purpose, he will glorify Yeshua. Got it? He will guide you into all truth. He will show you things to come. Now, he can't show you if you're not listening. He can't show you if you're not seeking to be led. He can't show you if you're not responsive in being led. He can only show you if you're open to be led. So he says he will glorify me because he will take a mind and show it unto you. I challenge anyone who say they have the Holy Spirit today to say that the Holy Spirit did not verify that his name was Yeshua, because he's here to glorify him. Now, you might have been mad and didn't like the idea that you needed to change to the name of Yeshua, but the Holy Spirit, I dare you to say to me that the Holy Spirit said to you, keep on in the false name. But he shall glorify me, so he will take of mine, and he will show it unto you. Now, that word glorify is doxazo, mean he will magnify, he will honor Yeshua, and he will manifest all that Yeshua possesses and all that he is. The Holy Spirit would talk to you about Yeshua and all of the power that he had, where he came from, and who he is. That's what it means when he says he will glorify me. I challenge anyone today to say they have the Holy Spirit and call him out of his name once they learn his name. Now, you can call me Bill, but my name is Will, right? You can call me Bob if you want to, but my name is Will. And if you know me personally, you know my name. And if you still insist on calling me out of my name, you got a problem with me. If you know me. Now, if you don't know me, you can call me Bob. You can call me, but I'm not responding to Bob. But you can call me Bob, and I ain't going to say nothing. You can say, good morning, Bob, and I'll just keep on walking. I know that's not my name, but you don't know that's not my name, so I'm not going to get mad at you. But I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And I'm not going to stay here long. I don't have much time anyway. And some of you are sitting on the edge of your seat ready for the game. So you're not going to be with me long anyway. 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Wherefore I give you to, third verse. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking, it says by, but trust me, it's in. No man speaking in the spirit of Yahweh calleth Yeshua a curse. That says he is not who he is. And that no man can say that Yeshua is Yahweh but by the Holy Ghost. So anybody who have the Holy Ghost can't possibly say that Yeshua is somebody that he is not. If you got the Holy Ghost. And if you got the Holy Ghost, you didn't know his name was Yeshua. You thought it was Jesus. But when somebody tells you, reveals to you that his name is Yeshua, your spirit, the Holy Spirit, will acknowledge that. I got the Holy Spirit, and my spirit acknowledged. I had been in Jesus' name for 30 years. But when I found out that his name was Yeshua, my spirit did not reject it. My spirit was at peace with it. Huh? I mean, I still studied to find out if this was true. But I came to the understanding that it was. And because it was true, and I have the spirit of truth, and I must walk in the truth, in the light, I have no other to do except accept his name. Let's go back to Johannes 16. That was just a deviation. Y'all still with me? I have somebody left me already. It's all right. Look, I'm not trying to be popular. Never have. And you talk to somebody who's been in this church for many, many years, they'll tell you that Apostle Washington don't want to be popular. He want to be true. He want to be right. So I'm not running a popularity contest. If you don't like me because I tell you the truth, so. Look, I was in the limelight. I was running with the big cats. Many of them know the truth, but they won't come to the light. They won't walk in the light. That's their problem. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Now that we're at this point, we need to look at how the apostles was led by the Holy Spirit and whether or not they trusted the Holy Spirit. You got to believe in the Holy Spirit and you got to trust the Holy Spirit. Now, I've told you all that been here a while how the Holy Spirit has spoken to me many times over my lifetime and told me what to do. Actually told me, didn't tell me how to be saved, but told me where to go and what man would help me come to the light. And because I was saved, I went to the man. See, because all I wanted is the truth. Right? He had more truth than most folks. Look at Acts 8:26. Do y'all really want to know? If you want to know, stay with me, because you're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit if you expect to have a successful walk. Let's look at the 8th chapter of Acts, and I'm going to give you a little background. And even today, I'm going to give you a little history. But right now, I'm going to give you a little background on what we are dealing with. The evangelist Philip, of course, that could not be his name if he was a Yehudi. Notice I do not use the name Jew because there is no J in the Hebrew language. Nobody could be a Jew. Philip could not have been a Yehudi. And if he was a Yehudi, they mispronounced his name. This is a Greek name. Philip is a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. So either he was a Greek and not a Hebrew, or they changed his name, as they have done many names in the Bible. Philip the Evangelist, so we call him Philip because I don't know what his name was up in Samaria preaching. And man, he had a great revival going on. People were getting saved. Demons was being cast out. Even Simon the magician was following him. And then something happened. And we'll start in the 26th verse. And the angel of Yahweh spake unto Philip. Now, my contention is that angel is probably a wrong translation. And we'll see why a little later on. I think this is the Spirit spoke to him. But as it can be as it may, we'll go on. And the angel of Yahweh spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Now, all of you know about the Gaza Strip, right? Where the Palestinians, so-called Palestinians, live. And I'm not down on anybody, I said so-called, because these people were all different kinds of folks before Israel was reconstituted in 1948. These was wanderers through the desert, are calling themselves Palestinians today, right? They had no specific home many times. They were just moving through the desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch, meaning he was castrated. So you couldn't work in the harems if you weren't castrated. You can see why, right? Y'all don't understand? How many of you know what a eunuch is? Let me see your hand. You who do not means the man is castrated. He has no way to supply the want of women. That doesn't mean he don't still like women. But he has no way of fulfilling that relationship of man and woman. And he arose and went and beheld a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had the charge of all of her treasury. Now I want to give you a history lesson. It says here that he encountered a man from Ethiopia. There was no Ethiopia in those days. He encountered a man from Cush. The man was a Cushite. Ethiopia was called Cush. That was the reason they were called Cush. And Candace, which is not an Ethiopian name, the queen, her name was Kandake. Kandake. See, if you try to look up some of these names that's been changed to authenticate whether these things happen, you're going to come up not being able to find it because you got the wrong name. Her name was Kandake, queen of Ethiopia. Now, you look up Kandake, and you'll find her. Now, here is where a lot of races came up with a theory that black people are cursed. Now, don't get upset. You all are not the only black people. There are black people in India. Black people in Mexico. There are black people all over South America. They don't relate to you as being part of them, but they're black people. So they come up with this idea that black people are cursed. And here's their theory. Ham, who is one of Noah's sons, after the flood, it says that Noah planted a vineyard and he drank from the grapes of that vineyard. Now, he couldn't go out there and get the grapes and eat the grapes or mash the grapes up and drink it and get drunk. It had to be fermented. But he drank from that grapes of that vineyard and he got drunk. And Ham saw him. He went to his tent to see his father. And when he looked in the tent, his father was laying out on the bed naked. And a boy or nobody was supposed to look on the nakedness of their father. So Ham went back and told his brothers Japhet and Shem, what he had seen. And so they took a garment and put it on their shoulders, and they walked backwards into the tent and laid the garment on their father. When Noah awoke and knew what his son, he said, knew what his son had done, he cursed Canaan, who is the younger son of Cush. So they say by his curse, that's where black folks came from. Now, he did curse Canaan, but he did not curse Cush. But Cush established the land of Cush, which we call today Ethiopia, so Cush had to be black too. Then if Cush was black, Ham had to be black. Now Ham had Cush, who established the land of Cush, which we now call Ethiopia, but he also had a son called Mizraim, who established what is called today Egypt. And he was black, and the Egyptians were black. The Egyptians is not Charles Heston. Oh, now they're changed. You look at them now, they are not what you would call totally black people. But you must remember that when Nabu, his name was not Nebuchadnezzar, his name was Nabu, the Tsar, Danizar, which was Nabu, the Tsar, the king, the ruler. Well, whenever he conquered a land, he would take the people out of that land, transport them to another land that he had conquered, and take the people out of that land that he had conquered to the next land. And so all the Egyptians was taken out, and these other people were brought in. So the people of today in Egypt are not Mizraim. They are from another land. I told you I'm giving you a history lesson today, right? So he had another son. Cush had a son called Mizraim. He had a son called Put, which some say established Libya. He had a son called Canaan, which is where the Canaanites came from, so they were black also. That whole land, which we call Israel, which we call Egypt, which we call Ethiopia, and the others in that area, was all established by the descendants of Cush, which is the descendants of Ham. Also, Cush had another son called Nimrod. And Nimrod is called the Mighty Hunter. He was the first mighty man in the earth. So let's go back to it. Now you have a little history lesson. Now you can kind of, stand with the big boys when you start whiffing at the big gate. And so let's just insert the correct names. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Cush, a eunuch of great authority with Candace, queen of Cush, who had charge over all of her possessions. He was in charge of everything in regards to her finances. And had come to Jerusalem, 27th verse, to worship. Was returning and sitting in his chariot. Read, it says it, Isaiah, which is incorrect. There's no Isaiah. He was reading from the book of Yahu, which we call Isaiah, the prophet. So he's sitting there on his chariot, and he's reading the Old Testament. He's reading from the prophet. Would you like another history lesson?
Yes.
The Old Testament, the Tanakh, is divided into three parts. One part is the Torah. One part is the prophets. And one part is the Ketuvim, the writing. He was reading from the prophets, Yeshayahu. I want you to be careful because you're going to see something here. Remember last week I told you that these people had been reading the Torah and the prophets for over 1,000 years, and they never saw Yeshua. Over 1,000 years. And the revelation did not come until the Holy Ghost came. And now the apostles reading the same book get the revelation of what that truly meant. And so he's reading Yeshayahu, which you call Isaiah. And Philip, 30 verse, ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Yeshayahu, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And here's the eunuch's response. And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip, he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. Yeshayahu 53. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so he opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet of this? Who is he talking about? Was he talking of himself or of some other man? So you see, in your natural mind, that's how you would look without the Holy Ghost. He's talking about somebody. Was he talking about himself, or was he talking about another man? Now look at this, 35th verse. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, Yeshayahu 4:53, and preached to him Yeshua. Now, Yeshayahu never said it was Yeshua. He said that he was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Dumb, he opened not his mouth. Judgment was taken away from him. Otherwise, he wasn't tried properly. And so the eunuch said, Who's he talking about? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about another man? And Philip, because he's full of the Holy Ghost, began to preach to him Yeshua. See, now with the Holy Ghost, the light has shined on the word. And now it's revealed who the prophet was speaking of 600 to 700 years ago, maybe 1,000. Then he goes on to say, now watch. I'm not going to read it because time, our time is 1:18 right now. Now, I'm supposed to be finishing. But I'm going to go just a little farther. Because I don't think the game starts until 3:30. Oh, I got time? Y'all going to let me go to 3:30? Of course I'm not going to 3:30. He goes on to say, as they went along, he's preaching to him, Yeshua, the eunuch said to Philip, see, here is water. What does prevent me from being baptized? So what was Philip preaching to him? He was preaching to him about Yeshua dying on the cross, and those that believe in him must be baptized in his name. And Philip said to him, nothing. And the Bible said they descended down from the chariot, and Philip baptized him. And the Spirit caught Philip away. And the Ethiopian of the Cush unit went on his way home rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this happened. Now, notice, 29th verse. Then the Spirit, remember, it started out with the angel said unto Philip. Now it said, the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Supposing Philip did not know when the Holy Ghost was speaking. Huh? The Holy Ghost is the one that told him to go down there. And he's standing down in the desert. He left a great revival. And the Holy Ghost said to him, attach thyself to this chariot. And that's how Philip met the eunuch. He just run along beside the chariot. And the eunuch is reading. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch said, how can I? Except some man showed me. And Philip went up on the chariot, starting at Yeshua, Yahu 53. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. Philip began to preach to him, Yeshua. Whoa. I thought I was going to finish today. I'm going to take a little more time. Acts 10, and then this is the last one. I can't go any farther. Pastor Tom might be coming down telling me to quit. A little black background. Kepha, which you call Peter, was up on the housetop. They were getting dinner ready. And Kepha saw in a vision a sheet being let down to the earth. And in this sheet was all manner of beasts, clean and unclean. And God said to Philip, arise. I mean, to Kepha, which we call Peter. He said, arise, slay and eat. And Kepha, being a good Yehudi who had never eaten anything unclean, said to God, he knew it was God. He said, no, I'm not going to do that. I've never eaten anything unclean. Nothing unclean has ever passed through my lips. See, sometimes we can get so religious we miss God. Because he told Philip to do something, Kepha to do something that Kepha didn't want to do. And so God said to Kepha, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. Then all of a sudden, somebody is knocking at the door. And here's where we pick it up. While Kepha thought on the vision, the Spirit, notice, said unto him, behold, three men seek you. Who said that? The Spirit said that to him. Wouldn't you like to be led by the Spirit like that? The Spirit says, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. A full conversation. So God has spoken to me like that. The Spirit has spoken to me like that. So I don't doubt any of this. Then Caiaphas went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause whereby or wherefore you are come? And they said unto them, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, and one that feareth Yahweh, a God, and of good report among all, says your nation, but goy means people too. All the people of the Yehudim, says Jew, but it's really Yehudim, was won from God by an holy angel to send for thee unto his house and to hear words of thee. The Holy Ghost didn't speak to Cornelius. An angel spoke to Cornelius because he didn't have the Holy Ghost. But he was a man who wanted to serve God. See, if you truly want to serve God, Yahweh will find a way, even though you don't know nothing about God, he'll find a way of pointing you to God. All you have to do is have a desire to serve God. And so the angel has spoken to Cornelius and says, and you'll notice, some people say, well, you know, God told me how to be saved. No, it is not scripture. God don't tell anybody how to be saved. The Holy Spirit don't tell anybody how to be saved. He points you to somebody who will preach the gospel to you. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Caiaphas went away with them and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And if you all know, you see I'm closing my Bible. I'm backing away. If you all know, he went down there and he preached to Cornelius. And Cornelius and his whole house, the Holy Ghost fell on them and they spoke with tongues. Now you can read it in here. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Then Caiaphas said, who can refuse baptism for these? And he baptized them in the name of Yeshua. And when he asked the people, the Yehudim that went with him, who can refuse baptism for them? You know what they said? They said, nobody, because we heard them speak in tongues the same as we when we received the Holy Ghost. We can't fight that. And he baptize them in the name of Yeshua. Now, I'm finished. You see, I'm backing away. Now, if you want me to come again to this roster, you have to be here next week. I'm going to finish this. But the truth is the only enlightened thing that we can depend on. And so if you're here today and you're not saved the Bible way, but you desire to be saved, I'm going to ask everybody to bow their heads, and I'm going to ask you, if you desire to be saved, that you would raise your hand. And I will pray for you. I will pray for you. I promise I will pray for you. Father Yahweh, we thank you for this time. We thank you for all that you have done. We thank you for your word and your spirit that is guiding us in your pathways, that our final destination, the kingdom of God, heaven, we will reach one day. And we thank you for that and give you glory and honor in the mighty name of Yeshua. Amen. Now we're going to receive our building fund offering. If you need an envelope, raise your hand quickly.